world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are live and mobile on our Listen Live line at philhenryshow.com, live and mobile on TuneIn, so check us out. Check us out. And starting on the 17th of March, we are going to be a digital-only, internet-only, web-only, in other words, a thoroughly bitchin' radio show.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret's here along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw. Good evening, General.
Yes, Phil, how are you doing?
I'm good.
All right, Margaret, go ahead. Margaret's speaking for all of us now.
We want to know what the smell is in here.
I noticed it, too. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't blame it on me. That's for sure.
Well, my initial instinct was to, if you'll pardon the use of the term instinct, was, what are you looking at?
Instinct? You mean stink?
Yes, and I don't mean that as a joke. I realize it probably sounds funny, but I'm...
Well, it kind of sounds funny when talking about his stink.
No, I don't mean it as a joke. Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry, Phil. You know something?
I don't want to hear that anymore, okay?
I drank very quickly a Diet Pepsi.
Phil, the gas is going to build up. What do you want the woman to do?
I would rather she not do that in the most obvious and explosive way. In other words, she's saying, good evening, I'm Margaret Gray. Belch.
Margaret Gray? I've never...
Margaret Gray. Good evening, I'm Margaret Gray. Black.
Well, you really want to cow it up, don't you?
Yeah, Phil, you made that a little bit more cow-like than it was intended to be.
Look, all Mr. Henry's saying is that... You may think it's a very creative...
Excuse me, Robert, are you telling me what to do?
Now, hold on for a minute now.
Let Robert say something.
What? Are you saying that I'm keeping the black man from saying something?
Margaret, you know, every word out of your so-called liberal mouth sometimes sounds really racist.
Hey! My point exactly.
Now, you want to talk, man. I'm saying, Margaret, that you should let Mr. Henry finish what he's saying and then pick on him, you know. You're just going, oh, he said Margaret Gay... And like that.
He did carve up my name, did he not?
Well, he did carve it up. But I think Robert's point is also well made.
And the other thing is about the belch. Man, that woman doesn't do that.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'll thank you to not tell me what it is to be a woman. I am considered extremely feminine, and I'm also considered to be quite a spokesperson for the female point of view. Thank you. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey.
Don't applaud.
Are we allowed to talk?
Not really, but I know it's very early in the program, so I'll waive the usual prohibition against anyone coming in and making a point more gooder than my... Not more gooder, but...
Yeah. Margaret, when you say I'm Margaret Gray, that is not a magical phrase that makes everyone mute. You understand that?
Yes, of course I understand that, but you agree that when I say I'm Margaret Gray, everyone else clams up, we go right to break.
Well, I understand. I don't know how that works, though.
The point is, everyone clams up, we go to break, right?
No, I didn't agree to that.
Oh, what a...
She's going to call you a dirty name.
Just for that. There, just for that.
All right.
And you'll notice I'm not getting up and leaving. Usually I would get up and leave, but I want to stay here and monitor what's going to be happening here. I think you've gone back on your word.
I haven't gone back on my word. Nobody no one within their right mind would say...
Thank you. I'm glad you spit that one out.
Yeah, Mr. Andy, what's taking you?
No one within their right mind would ever agree to a ridiculous stipulation like that. When I say I'm Margaret Gray, everybody else has to shut up. Are you kidding? When you get your own show, then you tell me.
Well, you know something? I'm bucking for just that here on the Phil Henry platform. There are people who would like to hear that. Thank you very much.
I would, too. I'd like to hear you host a show.
You would.
Yeah, I think we all would, Margaret. I think that we'd like to hear you host a show for two reasons. It would be a great show. It would, well...
What? Go ahead. What's the second reason?
Phil...
So you want me to say it, huh?
If you don't,
we gotta say it.
It would shut you up on...
It would shut me up. You know something? Were I 15 years old, I would go into that bathroom right now and I'd start to cut my arms up with a razor blade, but I won't do that. I won't do that because I am a mature woman.
No, what you do instead is belch and cut one.
I'm not a...
Ow, she's got my arm.
No, I don't.
She almost does.
Why do you go, ow, she's got my arm?
Because I'm imagining what it's going to feel like if she ever gets it and pulls it out of her socket.
Pulls it out of the socket? Boy, Dickman, you've got a real vivid imagination.
Okay, so we've started the show with the usual horse dung. God, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, Phil, you have only yourself to blame.
No, I don't. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. First of all, you guys started out saying, what's that smell? I don't know what it is. I smell it, too. It could be something from the refrigerator. One of the most notorious things in the history of the radio business is a funky, stanky, rotten refrigerator. Everybody knows it. Maybe this is the way it is in other businesses, but in the broadcasting business, people, I don't know, every single station I ever worked for, every single radio network I ever worked for, people bring crap in, stick it in the icebox.
Yeah, what's the thing you brought in, Margaret? Yeah, it started to stink it out.
It didn't stink anything out, thank you very much. It was a little bit of the goat stew that I brought back from the restaurant Phil recommended, Tap Tap. It was delicious. I brought a little tiny bit of the goat stew.
Did you eat it?
No, I haven't eaten it yet.
Well, it's sitting in the icebox right now.
The what?
Boy, Phil, you call it the icebox.
The refrigerator.
It's in the refrigerator. It is ripening. Phil, you have to understand something about...
What do I got to understand if you can leave goat stew in there?
It's goat stew. It gets good after a couple of days. That's what I was told.
Well, the goat stew, yes. I understand it, Phil. We were forced to eat goat stew on Grenada because we had lost the supply... Somehow I was in Grenada, even though that was a Marine operation, and so they didn't feed me, and I was forced to eat the goat stew.
What were you doing in Grenada?
I was there with an Army High Command. We were overseeing a supply operation for the Marine Corps. And I said, well,
Yeah, the supply operation, you didn't get a goat stew.
The supply operation went haywire, and I was forced to live on a goat stew, a very light goat stew, for a period of 48 hours. I can tell you, it is a foul tasting. I wanted to disown my mouth and tongue.
Bad, huh?
Well, I'm not saying it was bad, given the fact that I hadn't eaten in 24 hours, but I wanted to tear my tongue from the roots, yes.
Okay, so was it bad or good?
It was very good.
It was very good, but you wanted to tear your tongue out.
I hadn't eaten in 24 hours.
Well, we're not talking about that kind of goat stew. The goat stew that I brought in was prepared by Jean Bouton, who is the chef there at the restaurant. And it's delicious, he said, but let it sit on a countertop for 24 hours. Get it to room temperature and then re-chill it.
Are you out of your mind? That's going to turn it... That's a diarrhea-making potion there, man.
You're going to get the squirts.
Wouldn't you like to see that, wouldn't you, bud?
No, not really.
Oh, I bet you would. You'd like to see me punished that way.
No, Margaret, none of us would. But if that's what's stinking that refrigerator out, you better get... Please.
I can assure you that isn't stink. If it's stinking the refrigerator up, then it is a stink that... Well, I can't talk to people that have no culture.
Yeah, get on Ted Bell, because he used to serve a steak up.
Ted Bell used to talk about serving steak that would give you a fine diarrhea. You remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, he did, so maybe we should get Ted on before we do anything else. And there's a hell of a lot to do tonight. There's a hell of a lot to do in terms of what's happening in the news. There's a few interesting stories, including this comparison to Adolf Hitler by Hillary Clinton. And then a news anchor quit on TV, and then all the other weird stuff that's happening behind the scenes here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So as we go along, we will keep you cats updated, if you'll pardon the use of the hippie term cats.
Yeah, I don't appreciate. I'd rather just be general, calling you cats.
Sorry, I'm talking to the listeners. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Back right after this. All right. Welcome back.
You had no bumper music planned. You just potted that up, and there it was.
Oh, get a load of you using the word potted up and everything. You're all radio savvy, aren't you?
I told you that I've...
Okay, well, thank you, Margaret, for being so radio savvy. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And you want to tell people what you were just talking about?
Well, I guess I better, because you're probably going to, right?
Yeah, you got that right, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, she'll tell everybody about it.
Well, Robert, you were going to.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, I do, because Phil was talking, ladies and gentlemen, during the break about being a little boy, and he would go to kindergarten every day on the bus, and on the bus with him was a little Japanese boy who would say, I think you, me go back, what is it?
Me go back to Japan March morning.
So this little boy was saying he was returning to Japan on the 1st of March?
Yeah, that's what he would say to me. And I'm five. What am I going to say? I'm going, oh, yeah, well, that's really cool or something. I don't know what the hell I said.
You said it was really cool. That's interesting for a five-year-old.
I don't know. No, General, I don't know what I said.
What do you think you said?
I don't know what I said at five. What would you say to another kid?
Well, you said you talked to this boy every day.
I did. I talked to him every day. Generally, he sat next to me on the bus because, you know, kids are. We're creatures of habit. So you just always get in the same seat, and there he was. And he would say, you know, he was excited about going back to Japan. And he would say this, me go back to Japan March morning.
Well, is that the only English? What was this child doing going to an American kindergarten? You know what kindergarten is, don't you, Phil? A kindergarten. It's a garden of the kinder.
What do you mean, the kinder?
You mean it's a children's school.
Well, but hold the phone here, Phil. A kindergarten, okay.
I thought you were all with the French. Now you're going to tell me German?
Forget it. What an ass.
Well, Margaret, you're the one.
No, really, Phil just went full ass on me. All I was trying to say.
God, did you hear what you just said? Did you put your ass on her?
She didn't say that.
I didn't say that, you schmo.
Ow! Ow, 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 ow. She's not touching me, but I'm afraid she will. Ow, ow, ow.
Well, why are you doing that?
Just to alert the authorities.
Don't worry, I'll be the authority. Okay? You don't have to go ow, ow, ow.
If I do it loud enough, it'll attract the attention of bystanders.
Oh, man, but I'd like to... God.
And ladies and gentlemen, just for the record, Mr. Hendry cocked his fist back. And, well, you know,
you said cock, man.
Will you guys knock it off before I really do start doing some damage here?
Well, you were nervous. You went, before I really do start doing some damage. So even if you were... Well, all right, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The kid said to me, me go back to... So what's your problem with that?
Because what Mr. Hendry said was, the little boy went back to Japan, and you were theorizing as to why he was here in the first place.
Yeah, I thought, I don't know, the kid was here because maybe a lot of Japanese kids were brought here after the war, because Japan was a smoldering ruin, you know, and so... And his family was here, and they lived on the same street, I think. They lived right up the street from us. But, and then I said, well, the kid's going back to Japan. I said, well, that seems like why are they sending him back to this smoldering wreck of a country when he could have stayed here and become a Major League Baseball player? What's so terrible about that?
So the racial stereotype kicked in with you at the age of five. All you saw was not another little boy, possibly suffering, possibly not. All you saw through your little white boy eyes and your Irish heritage was, well, will you look at that? I got me a Jap pitcher.
Oh, how dare you say that?
Margaret, that's dirty pool to say that.
Well, I stand by my comment.
Well, you're going to have to apologize for that, because I never said any such thing.
God! You think Mr. Henry say that?
I don't think that's very racist. Maybe he said it was a pitcher.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because you're looking through your little blue Irish-American eyes.
Okay, and so automatically I'm thinking, hey, I got me a Jap pitcher. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I got news for you. First of all, there were no Japanese players in the major leagues back then. None. Zero.
Didn't they play baseball?
Yes, they played baseball in Japan.
But they're not playing here.
Not back in the 50s, they weren't. I mean, the closest we had to foreign ball players in the 50s were Dominican players. We had Cuban players. We had,
Black players.
I don't mean,
Yeah, see? You gotta consider me being foreign and everything.
Well, Robert, you have to understand that having what they called in those days the Negro was about as weird as it got for a lot of people, so people had to get used to that.
You know, it was a different time, Robert. But for you to sit there and say a little five-year-old boy could think such hateful thoughts...
I'm not saying it's hateful, Phil. It's the dumb thoughts of a little dumbass. And you are a very smart kid. I understand that. But all little five-year-old boys, especially five-year-old boys... Did you see the picture that Bobby posted? And for once, I agreed with her. It was a little boy going, remember that?
Yeah.
See, that is the man, that is the male gender in its perfect, excuse me. I guess you're going to get upset with that, huh?
No, I'm not going to. I've already told the guys, don't react.
What do you mean, don't react?
Just finish your thought, Margaret.
Yeah, finish what you're saying.
No, what is this, don't react?
Finish what you're saying.
Little boys, little five-year-old boys are cute, but they're the dumbest. Good God almighty, are they stupid. When Jason J. Delmonico was five, I thought this kid would walk in front of every bus he saw because he just staggered around. You know, little boys do that. They stagger around looking at things. And Jason J. Delmonico was always, mommy, look. And I would think this kid is going to get flattened one day, sure as God made green apples.
Well, you know, that's a hell of a thing to say about a young boy. If you've got a child, be he male or be he female, be he she, I'm sorry, I got caught in that cycle, Phil.
Yeah, don't go near be he, she, he, none of that on this show, because it is. It's a trap. So every little five-year-old boy is a dumbass, huh?
Five-year-old boys are cute, they're marvelous, they're wonderful, but they stagger about bumping into cars, trucks. I swear to God, I would look at Jay. Do you know where I found him one day? Across the street at the post office. I had taken him into a thrifty drugstore with me. We were getting something, I forget. And Jason, 6 years of age, leaves the store. Now, I was engaged with a saleswoman. This happens. He leaves the store, crosses the street, goes into the post office across the street. I get over there, and I see him licking and slapping a stamp on a Jesse Raphael postcard. And I'm saying, honey, what are you doing? And all he said, oh, Sally Jesse Raphael. I don't want to say what he said, but...
What did he say?
It's something he learned from his father. But can you believe that the stupidity of this child?
Are you telling me that this kid went across the street and wrote a postcard to Sally Jesse Raphael?
Yeah.
Well, he did, but it was Sally Jesse Raphael. All right, I'll say it. Sally Jesse Raphael, mommy, Bull Dyke. Big Bull Butch Dyke.
You gotta be kidding me.
Man, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful, beautiful postcard.
You're kidding. I am not buying that at all.
I'm, as my hand to God, I got him home and I tanned his little ass for that. I can tell you that.
This little five-year-old boy.
Yes. That's why I'm saying I take everything seriously that comes out of the mouth of some little punk five-year-old kid. They're cute. They're wonderful. I hope someday I have grandsons. But when they're five, God, Katie bar the door, God help me. And God help them.
Mommy, Sally Jesse Raphael.
You see, this is it. You laugh.
Of course I'm laughing. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. What do you think, General?
Well, it's difficult to weigh the pros and it's funny as hell. There's no question at all, Margaret. I have to agree with Phil. It's also troubling, but not from the standpoint of the boy, from the standpoint of what Sally Jesse Raphael might be able to mete out were she to receive the card and know it comes from a five-year-old. Now, I don't...
Okay, that's... Thank you, General. That's great.
What are you going... Why are you waving your hands at me like I'm just a mental deficient standing at the gates of a village?
Because I don't need to hear anymore.
I'm not talking about a mental deficient.
I don't need to hear anymore, General. I appreciate that. When we come back, we're going to get into... Hillary Clinton made a comment about Putin being Hitler. You know, this Hitler comparison, as you all know, it grows very, very thin with a lot of us. I'm the only guy who says that the Hitler comparisons are fantastic if you know what you're talking about. Because if there's a good reason, if there was any good reason that Hitler was walking the face of this earth when he did, it was to provide for us an example of what not to do, who not to elect, who not to support, what not to do as a people and what not to do as a country, whenever. That guy and Germany at that time serve as a shining example to every other people and every other leader in the history of the world and anybody that comes after him, a great example of all the stuff you don't want to do.
Well, all of it?
Yes, all of it.
What about, like, the uniforms and everything?
Yes, the uniforms, everything. I wouldn't do anything that they did. I wouldn't dress up like a milkmaid. I wouldn't put on the helmet. I wouldn't goose step. I wouldn't listen to...
What about Beethoven?
I probably wouldn't even want to listen to him or Wagner or whoever the guy was, but...
Maybe that's going too far.
I think so.
All right. We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to discuss that. And wanted to also remind folks that when we go to our March 17th new platform on March the 17th, we're going to be incorporating the Bobby Dooley podcasts, as well as the Steve Bozell and, of course, the Frank Gray and the Phil Henry podcasts. All the other podcasts will be incorporated into the body of the show. And there is a very, very good two-part Bobby Dooley Sklar Brothers podcast that will kick things off on Monday, March 17th, as part of the new Phil Henry Show. So stick around for that. And then Scott Ian from Anthrax. We're online and live at and mobile at philhenryshow.com. Online and live and mobile at TuneIn. I can't take it back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, online at philhenryshow.com. Just hit Listen Live. It is free. It is mobile. You can listen to it on your desktop if you want to, but if you're out and about, you can hear us on your smartphone, and also, and that would include your new Samsung, and that would include your new Android, Nikki, if you ever figure out how to install the TuneIn app. All right.
Yeah. You got to help me.
I'm kidding. And then we also have...
What are you giving Nikki a hard time?
She just... Her TuneIn app was... something was wrong with it. Anyway, also, we are, as I mentioned, listen live here on our website, philhenryshow.com. Now, very interesting development on Russia Today. You ever watch this network?
Yes, I do. I've seen the network, and I heartily concur with this young lady... that we're about to hear. Phil is going to play the audio of a young woman resigning.
Yeah, you have to yell it.
Would you tell him to...
Easy, bud.
But I'll reach over, and with one hand, I can choke the life right out of you while I continue talking to people, making my point, and your tongue is lolling out of your head, turning blue.
Yeah, you'd like to, if you was quick enough.
Don't worry about it.
So your point is...
Yes, Margaret, what about the young woman?
The young lady on Russia Today. She resigned on the air.
She resigned on the air...
Because of the Russian incursion into the Ukraine. Now, I know you have some background, Phil, but then I'd like to hear this young woman.
Yes, well, as you all know, Russia has they've done what they've done many times before. A lot of people talk about the United States and how we preemptively sometimes act militarily. And this is true. We do. Our sphere of influence extends much further. And this is all about geopolitics, folks. It's got nothing else to do with anything else than the geopolitical reality of the world. What is the reasonable political sphere of influence for any nation state, Russia's is, in their mind, and I think we accept this, Russia's is Southern Asia, China, Eastern Europe, and they have never, ever, ever been shy about acting.
Phil, you're going to give a big, long speech. What is this, okay? Is this the inaugural address?
Yes, I'd like the Gettysburg Address, Phil, not Bill Clinton at the 88 convention. Thank you.
All right. Hey.
I'm giving some background, if you don't... All right, forget it. All right, so here's this lady. I was going to talk about those Ukrainian airmen.
Yes, much later. Okay, let's get to the girl.
All right, here is the young... the girl. Get a load of you.
Yeah, I'm kind of sexist.
I mean the woman.
An American journalist said she was quitting a Russian-backed TV station in an on-air protest Wednesday, telling viewers, "I got to be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Vladimir Putin." Her name is Liz Wall. She is an American. She is of, I believe, Russian or Ukrainian extraction. She will explain it here.
What do you mean extraction?
I mean her family. And she will explain here as we listen.
Last night, RT made international headlines when one of our anchors went on the record and said Russian intervention in Crimea is wrong. And indeed, as a reporter on this network, I face many ethical and moral challenges, especially me personally, coming from a family whose grandparents came here as refugees during the Hungarian Revolution, ironically to escape the Soviet forces.
I love this.
I have family on the opposite side, on my mother's side, that sees the daily grind of poverty.
I love
it. And I'm very lucky to have grown up here in the United States.
You tell me to
I'm the daughter of a veteran.
Watch
my partner.
It.
is a physician at a military base where he sees every day the firsthand accounts of the ultimate prices.
Did you hear that?
That people pay.
He sees it every day
for this country.
Margaret, please.
And that is why personally I cannot be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin. I'm proud to be an American and believe in disseminating the truth. And that is why, after this newscast, I'm resigning.
So there it is. That is Liz Wall. And what you heard also was Margaret Gray butting in.
How dare you? I was pointing out some things.
Margaret, you know, I want to hear the statement, then you can go back and say what you want to say.
Margaret, it was extremely,
Where are you going?
I'm going to the toilet, thank you.
Oh, will you grow up?
Oh, I got to grow. So if I get older, I don't have to take a dump anymore? I'm sorry.
It's very interesting how all of that just happens when you're getting criticism. All right. So there it is. An American journalist said she was quitting a Russian-backed TV station in an on-air protest. Don Berman has been a longtime contributor to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're going to talk with Don here once we get in contact with him, bud.
Yeah, I'm calling right now on account of L. Ron Martin.
This guy, L. Ron Martin, man, I don't know how Don is able to even deal with this cat because he is the owner, operator. I guess he might even be he's the manager of the station. I think he's the owner of the station. Is he in studio?
No, I think he's in transit to his house.
Don, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, Phil, for having me on.
We wanted to talk to you as a news anchor and as a newsman about Liz Wall from Russia Today TV. What do you think?
Well, what I think is probably something that not a lot of people are going to want to hear, and that is that Liz Wall is a young woman looking for her opportunity. She's looking for the break. She's looking for that moment, as they say that all life comes down to one moment. And Liz Wall, I think, is smart enough to know that she needs to know when and how her moment will be reached. Now, understand that Liz Wall plays it real cute. She plays it real close to the vest. She's a real cutie pie, and there's nothing that she doesn't do that isn't calculated right down to the last, right down to the last bag of Equal that she probably pockets and sticks in her purse on a regular basis out of the cafeteria there at Russia Today.
Well, hold on for a minute. You're going to be criticizing her?
No, I admire her. I admire her greatly, but I'd like to get my opinion out.
I'm coming back for this. This is Margaret Gray, Don.
Yes, I heard the whole... it's nice to talk to you, Margaret. I heard the entire incident with Phil. Sometimes I wonder if you're ever going to come out of that bathroom.
That's all right, Don. That's nothing that concerns you. I am listening very carefully to what you're saying. I admire this woman a great deal.
I'm sure that you do admire her, as I do.
Then what's with the crack about her stealing Equal from the cafeteria and all the other thing?
Well, I'll tell you what, Margaret. If you don't talk to me like this, like I'm not even here and you're talking to just a wooden man, I'd be more than happy to answer the questions.
Now, Margaret, I think there needs to be a level of respect that you give to Mr. Bourbon.
Let's just talk to each other with respect.
Yeah, but Margaret, you're going on and on and on.
What are you talking about? I'm saying that this woman deserves a level of respect.
Yeah, you did it again. There, Norman, respect. All right, fine. I can play that game. Two can play it, that. I believe that Liz Wall is an opportunist. Okay?
Do we have to be children? Can we have one show where everyone is an adult?
I'm trying to be an adult, but she won't let me. And
I was being an adult, and then you started it.
God, you sound like little tiny babies. Where you're going at it right now?
Right there. Dickman said it. Out of the mouths of idiots, or whatever the Bible... What did the Bible say, bud?
Out of the mouths of an ape.
Out of the mouths of apes comes... Isn't that? No, it isn't mouths of apes.
Out of the mouths of babes. Babes? What is that?
You're talking about women?
No, babies, man.
Oh, man, you guys. I swear to God, if we didn't need you that desperately here in the studio, you'd make great doorstops.
Well, I guess you're really getting off on that one.
I didn't say anything. Phil's the one that's cracking up.
I thought it was very funny.
So now I'm nothing but a doorstop. I'm going to remember that one.
I don't know.
I'm going to continue as if I'm talking to real people and not it's just a fruit festival that you got going on in there, Henry. You don't have a radio show, Phil, so much as you have a nightly fruit stand. That's what you do, and you have my condolences.
Thank you.
All right. Liz Wall, I think, is a fine young woman. I think she's a young woman that is going places. There's no question about it. She picked her moment, and she seized the moment when the reporter Abby Martin, who the day before had made on-air remarks critical of the Russian government's actions, telling viewers what Russia did was wrong. So Wall used that. She climbed on top of Abby Martin and used Abby Martin as her springboard to her gig, I think, Phil, at either CNN or Fox. We'll see who snaps this young lady up.
Boy, that's a... Now that there, I think, is a very, very cogent... remark.
Well, I would think that Fox would want her. I feel bad about that because I think she's very, very courageous, and I think Fox will not allow this woman free thought. Fox will try to mold her into that blonde-haired news slut that we're all familiar with. I'm not trying to be critical of fellow women in journalism, but Fox News takes women off the street, good women, solid women, with good credentials. They put them through some kind of a slut-o-matic. And that, I know Frank was laughing about that, but I think it's true.
What did you call that?
I think Fox puts these, I'm not trying to make a joke, but Fox puts them through a slut-o-matic. A slut-o-matic.
Slut-o-matic. That a joke?
I think, yes, it is a joke. I just got done saying that.
All right, so Fox puts them through a slut-o-matic, and then what?
And then what? Then they're sluts. New sluts. And I think Liz Wall deserves better.
Well, what do you think of this Abby Martin? Do you think she'll get a network gig?
Well, what do you think?
I don't. She's stuck. I think she'll probably get fired, or she'll be reprimanded. She'll have nowhere else to go. She will sit there and molder on the side of the highway like roadkill, while this Liz Wall climbs the ladder of success right over top of her, with her spike heels digging deep into the eye socket. I don't.
Well, that's
A little gross, you know. I mean, boy, you guys are talking about this like it's a, well, like it's a, like jungle warfare.
Phil, life is a jungle, and the life in the broadcast profession is very much jungle-like.
Well, that's true. A lot of people climb over top of people.
Yeah, I don't know, but...
Okay, well, that's the truth. Don, hang on. We're going to take a break here. Don Martin from Channel 19 News. As we talk about Liz Wall, the Russia Today reporter, the on-air anchor, who came out and criticized very sharply, editorialized, which is something that a news reporter ordinarily shouldn't do. It has been done before. There are a great many great broadcasters that have broken the precedent, notably Walter Cronkite, when he called for the United States to withdraw from Vietnam, saying that it was a war that could not be won. And Walter Cronkite, I mean, that guy was the, and probably still remains, state-of-the-art when it comes to news anchoring and objectivity. So we'll have to see what happens. We've got Don Berman. He's coming right back with us here, and then we'll get into what Hillary Clinton had to say about Putin being a Hitler. All of a sudden, all this stuff is heating up, and it's heating up pretty good. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com. We're online at TuneIn and listen live at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Very happy to have with us Don Berman from Channel 19 News as we continue talking about the news anchor on Russia Today, Liz Wall, who quit. She resigned. She didn't just say she thought Putin was a turd in a bag, but that she was resigning as a result of that.
Can we be clear? She didn't say Putin was a turd in the bag. She didn't say that.
I understand.
We have to be accurate, Phil. This is Don Berman, by the way, folks. Did you say that I was on the show?
Yes, I did.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I wanted to make sure everyone knew. I'm a news anchor, so you're listening to Phil, who is a radio a talk show host, and you're listening to Margaret, who is a news writer. She's a columnist. But I'm an actual news anchor. I think what Liz Wall did... If I can just pick it up, Phil?
Yeah, but I want to just roll into it here, give everybody an opportunity to catch up. She's a woman who resigned on air on Russia Today, which is a news channel that, my understanding, is funded by the Russian government. Now, it is carried on a great many
cable systems. It's carried in my home. And I find it interesting. I think it's a fascinating channel. I wasn't aware to what extent or to what degree it was the content was controlled. I like to think that when I'm looking at a news channel, there is a relative amount of freedom, at least from American standards. We have editorial policies.
Well, now, hold on for a minute, because I've got to say something here.
What?
Are you saying to me that Fox News, that anybody can say anything they want on Fox News?
Well, that's a very good point, Phil.
Am I saying anybody can say anything they want on Fox News? No, I'm not saying that at all.
Then Fox News is no better than Russia Today.
Fox News has an editorial policy.
All right. Fox News has an editorial policy. Russia Today has an editorial policy. CNN has an editorial policy. So what is the difference between those networks and Russia Today? I'm Margaret Gray, and that doesn't mean you can't talk, but I want people to know that I said...
That's great, Margaret. Thank you very much. I've been listening with great interest, this I'm Margaret Gray, and I'm finding it increasingly onerous listening to that. Now, being on the air with it is positively insufferable because it does two things.
This is going to take a long time for you to explain. Just say it. You don't like it because it steps all over your ego.
No, it does not. I can hang up just as easily as you can walk into a bathroom, sit on a toilet, and no matter how many times a day, do whatever it is you do.
How dare you? You know, bringing that up, how dare you? I am saying what I think is the truth. I'm speaking my truth.
And I'm telling you the professional attitude. And the professional attitude, I'm agreeing with you.
Hold on. Everybody stop for a minute.
Now, Mr. Henry, what about Fox News? They got an editorial policy, too. All of a sudden, they look like Russia Today.
Hold on for a minute. It's a very good point. It's a very good point. There's no question. The government isn't firing you or the government isn't telling you what to do when you're on Fox News. I don't know if the government exercises that heavy a hand in the editorial policy or the editorial control of Russia Today. According to Liz Wall, at least listening to her statement, it would seem that they do. I will tell you this. Russia Today is not unique as a broadcast organization that's owned by the government. The BBC is owned and operated by the British government. The CBC in Canada is owned and operated by the Canadian government. That doesn't mean there are not independent broadcasters in both of those countries. Now, I'm going to make a big assumption here that there are similar independent broadcasters in Russia. We just haven't really been exposed to them. So if you look at Russia as one might look at Canada or Great Britain, you have a government-controlled broadcast company.
I was going to make all of these points, Phil, and I think it would be better coming from me.
Well, I'm saying them now, so...
Jeez.
Yeah, he does this a lot, Don.
Yeah, he does this a lot. He says stuff. You know, you guys aren't the only ones to say things.
I'm trying to say that I agree with you. I also agree with Margaret.
You're just agreeing to anybody who says good stuff.
I'm just agreeing with anybody that says good stuff. Man, I hope L. Ron Martin comes over here and starts working that espresso machine because I'm about to flip my lid.
Hold on. The Russian government running Russia Today is no different from Britain running the BBC or Canada running CBC. So if they don't like what a news anchor does, or more to the point, if they have an editorial policy which says this is how we're going to report things, then that's what it is. Free press means just that. A free press can report the way they want to report. You can't violate libel laws and slander laws. You can't, in other words, slander or libel someone that has reported something untrue about an individual to their detriment of their reputation. There are laws you have to observe. But beyond that, you can report as you see fit. She's walking off of that network. She may very well, as you said, Margaret, get a job on Fox.
Well, this is what I'm saying, and this is I want to say to Liz Wall, if she's listening, I don't know the likelihood of it. I know that I am followed by a great many young female journalists, and I want to say this to them, if I may.
But Margaret...
I'm going to say what I want to say to them.
I want to say things that will make me look good.
Well, you're just going to have to wait.
Hold on, Don.
I'll hold on because Phil told me to, not because the garden gnome over there.
The garden gnome? That's dirty pool there, Bourbon. I don't think that's fair.
Well, all right, General, whatever you say. God.
All right, relax. What do you want to say, Margaret?
My point is this. If Liz Wall leaves Russia today and walks across the street to Fox, heaven help her, because she's going to be encountering the exact same oppressive atmosphere. They're going to tell her what to say, they're going to tell her how to report it, and they're going to tell her that she has to do this, that. And God knows what they'll do to her looks. Turn her hair into a bright, vibrant, almost blinding white, a platinum old lady white is what they're going to do. And then they'll darken her skin. They'll call it a tan, but they'll say, well, you know, she does have some Asian blood. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. A little bit of an ass wiggle. You know what I mean, Phil, right?
No, I don't.
I said last night the ass wiggle is to say, I get it. I'm giving you the green light, but don't you dare tell anyone that I did.
The ass wiggle.
Yeah.
All right, I got a minute to go here.
So Liz Wall needs to be careful. If I were you, Liz, you've quit. Sit on the sidelines, see who gives you the big offer, and then when they say we'd like to hire you, tell them you want complete editorial control, or you will go on the air on the day that you're fired and start rolling out every filthy, dirty secret you know about the executives and whether or not they're wearing pants after hours. You know what I'm saying.
Talking about sexual blackmail.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, hold on.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm sorry, Margaret. We're not doing that right now. I've got to go into a break, and people got to know what the hell it is that we're doing around here. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you very much, Don Berman. Hillary Clinton and some other news forthcoming here on philhenryshow.com, and tune in. PhilHenryShow.com. What, bud?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Just got a call from a listener who said that it's fading in and out. Fading in and out.
Yeah, well, I've got another call from a guy.
Well, hold on for a minute, okay?
No, we got another call from a guy that said there's echoing.
Yeah, hold on for just a minute, okay? Every time I go on the air and I say something along the lines of, gee, we had a technical problem the other night that caused this and that, then we got a whole bunch of people calling and saying, oh, yeah, and there's something else wrong.
What, you see the guys imagining it?
That's exactly what I'm saying. They're imagining it. There's nothing wrong with the audio. Now, I was talking to Nikki a moment ago. She heard something. She's part of the crew. She's on the technical side of things, so I'm going to listen to what she's saying. It's not that I don't respect our listeners. It's that I just notice this happens. Anytime you say, it's kind of like seeing a UFO. Then everybody sees one, right?
Excuse me.
Are you all right? Boy, you suddenly got a look on your face like you were
Like he was what?
The last time I saw that look, it was on my sister's face.
Yeah?
I'm not going to say.
You're going to talk about how she's gagging on something.
Is that any of your business, you piece of...
Hey, watch it. Well, you brought it up.
You turned a little ashen gray the same way Grace did.
What were you guys doing that you saw your sister gagging on something?
You know what, Phil? Someday, if you're a good boy, I'll tell you. It was before I got married. I'll give you two words. Mexico.
That is,
Just Mexico.
That's not two words.
I was going to say, that's not two words.
Mexico.
Okay, maybe the way they pronounce it in the Gray household.
There you go.
Give you two words, Mexico. It's the Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. No, we're having a jolly old time here. But we did have some, you know, we had TriCaster issues and some technical issues that have been ironed out. I don't know. The guy says he hears an echo. Is he the only guy?
Yeah, so far he's the only guy, but I'm pretty sure... He said, I'm hearing an echo, and I'm also hearing kind of a noise bouncing back and forth. And I said, now, you're the only one called in so far. He said, well, can I hang on the line to wait and see how many other people call in? I said, yeah.
Is that him hanging on there?
Yeah.
And what are you talking about, bud?
I'm talking to one guy. He said he hears not an echo, but he's hearing it's fading in and out. It's going like this. It's going to go like, yeah, I'm talking about it. And then it gets loud, and Mr. Henry is talking really loud. See?
What are you talking about, bud?
I'm talking about it fading in and out.
What's that guy doing on hold?
Well, I coordinated with Robert. We said, let's put him on hold and see if other people call in.
You coordinated with Robert?
Yeah, so we'll see if other people calls in.
Anybody else called in?
Not yet, but I'm sure that they will.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they will, too, as soon as you, as we've just put this on the air. You know, with the greatest of respect to the human animal... and to all of us together on this spaceship Earth. There's a thing called, what are you looking at, General?
Well, you're getting all philosophical, that spaceship Earth thing. That made me,
I didn't say spaceship burp.
Well, it sounded like spaceship Earp or something.
What are you talking about, spaceship Earp? That's like where the Earp family lives, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Spaceship Earth. F. Buckminster Fuller. Do you know who he is?
I wouldn't know. What is that? It sounds like a place that we attacked. It sounds like something we bombed in Vietnam.
He said we're all travelers on this spaceship Earth. So to that end, we do tend to be a little monkey see, monkey do. If someone says something, then we all seem to think we've seen or heard the same thing. If someone says they see a UFO, then we all, you know...
Yeah, it's called mass hysterical or something, or everybody gets hysterical, whatever.
No, it's mass hysteria. Mass hysteria. Do you remember the song by Def Leppard called I Get Hysteria? Do-do-do-do. You know that song?
I don't know it. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, oh, great. The oldest guy in the room. Yeah, I know it. Jesus.
Well, it's Def Leppard. It's 80s.
All right, but you remember the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about it?
Well, that's what they were singing about. Hysteria, when you're near, do-do-do. You don't remember?
I do remember, Margaret. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Well, I think different. I think it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. Def Leppard was saying something. I don't know what it was, but they were saying something to me. I felt that they were talking to me.
Margaret, maybe you ought to lay down.
You know, I don't need to lay down, old man.
Hey, take it easy. All right, so I promised that,
You wouldn't say take it easy anymore.
Yeah, you just did.
Well, you know, I'm doing the best that I can with what the good Lord gave me. UN Special Envoy to Crimea, Robert Seri, said Wednesday he cut short a mission to the disputed region after being threatened by unidentified pro-Russian gunmen and heckled by protesters. Seri, who'd been sent to the tense Black Sea Peninsula by UN Chief Ban Ki-moon...
Let me see that. Ban Ki-moon? That's the dopiest sounding name in the world.
Well, that's his name. Boy, look at you all...
Yeah, pretty judgmental, Margaret.
Well, I think if you're going to have a UN chief...
Yeah, let's get a guy named Bob Jones or something like that.
No, not some redneck.
Bob Jones is redneck. Okay. Was confronted by armed men after visiting the Ukrainian naval headquarters in Crimea's capital, Zimferopol.
Is that some kind of a joke?
No, that's the name of the... Crimea's capital is Zimferopol. I thought it was Sevastopol, but anyway... prevented from returning to his vehicle, Seri said the men who refused to identify themselves said they have received orders to bring me immediately to the airport, although they declined to say from whom. They said it was in my own safety. I refused, and a standoff ensued, he added, saying at one point his driver was pulled from the car. Seri sought refuge in a local cafe with his assistant to phone the mission. Then after a tense two-hour standoff, he was driven to the airport and boarded the first flight out of the region to Istanbul. Man, things over there are whacked out.
You know, I read something that when the Russians made some incursion into Georgia, I think it was, not the state of Georgia, bud. This is a different...
Yeah, I heard about the Georgia that's over there.
Yes, there's a Georgia that's over there.
Yeah. And anyway, they interviewed a couple of the soldiers, and these guys stunk of vodka as they're going down the road. They were lagging behind their unit. They were not in formation. They'd broken ranks. They're eating, they're into their rations as they go down the road like some stumble bum off of a flat car. And then when they talk to these two jackballs, this guy in his broken Russian, he's, talking all this tough, and he stinks of vodka. I mean, I would have had that guy standing tall before the man.
Well, I mean, General, they need a little discipline over there.
You better believe that. I would never put up with that. Any kind of stench coming from the ranks, and believe me, I've been around fighting men my whole life, and the stink that comes off of them, well, as I've always said to them, soldiers are supposed to stink. That's what they're there for. What, are you laughing at our fighting men?
No, I'm not. The soldiers are supposed to stink.
Aren't you really saying soldiers are supposed to be dirty and tired?
Soldiers are dirty, tired, and they stink like an open sewer. That's what a soldier is for. And to any fighting man listening, that's your job as a fighting man in the United States military. You gotta take it, and you have to take it with a smile on your face.
Okay, General, we get it. And God knows there are probably militaries around the world that would benefit from your point of view.
Well, I don't want to see the U.S. military become a laughingstock just because Zabrowski has decided it's better that he sits down and sucks down another tumbler of vodka, has himself a sausage sandwich, and watches as the whole damn thing goes up in flames. Those guys over there are sitting on their lunch buckets, watching their country burn down around them, and they're belching. Oh, man.
Take it easy. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a war. Is that what you're afraid of?
Right now, I want you to stop with the take it easy. No one tells me, okay, Galen Shaw, to take it easy.
General, what's the problem?
There's no war, okay?
Yeah, that's what you say.
There's no war. Come on. Look, you've been through this. I've been through. We've all been through this. The Russians, they move in. And America, of course, threatens. And America does what every other country does. We threaten. We go to the UN and we threaten. We go to the UN and we threaten. And sometimes it gets resolved and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, I remember the whole Czechoslovakia thing. That young lady, that Liz Wall, said that her grandparents escaped Hungary. That was 1956. My landlord, when I rented a place in Sierra Madre, which is a little town.
That's where the treasure of Sierra Madre.
No, it ain't the treasure of Sierra Madre. It's a different Sierra Madre. It's a little town north of Pasadena. And my landlord and landlady were Hungarian refugees. They came from Hungary in 56. They walked out of that country during that whole Russian invasion. And they wound up in a refugee camp. They went to Canada. Now, both of these people were school teachers in Hungary. They were school teachers. But when they got to Canada, their school teaching credentials didn't help them at all, man, because they had all the school teachers they needed in Canada. And so he became a house painter, and she became, a mom. She worked whatever job she could work. And they told me there were days that she had the kids in the car. The children would sit in the car all day while she and her husband were off doing, working. I mean, the kids were within eyesight of the mom.
Well, what was she doing?
Sounds like, was she working in a dairy or someplace, with a milk bucket or something? That sounds like the kind of a job.
I don't know. Why would a milk bucket?
I don't know why it is, but I see the Hungarian refugee with a milking stool. It seems noble.
Well, okay, General, I don't know. But when I finally met these two folks, they were in their 50s. They owned two homes. They had a vacation home up at Clear Lake, California. They had this rental property in which I lived in one of the units. They lived in the other, and they were beautiful little units in Sierra Madre, which if anybody's ever been there, it's a gorgeous town. They owned another property up in Northern California, and they were doing very, very well. And they'd raised two children. Their daughter was like my age, and she was getting ready to, she was going back to school, and they had grandkids, and they were doing great. And he was still painting houses.
He's still a painter?
Yeah, he became a house painter. I should have told you that, up in Canada. And he was still a house painter. By this point, she was just a stay-at-home mom. She was a housewife. But this guy was a riot.
Is this the man who kept saying, "We wash it down"? Was that the guy?
Yeah, his name was Joe. And Joe would say, "Hey, Phil, let's wash it down." He had a bottle of this Hungarian wine, Tokay. You ever,
Are you putting me on? That stuff's strictly from a boxcar.
Well, I'll tell you, the real Hungarian Tokay. And then he had this potato whiskey. You wouldn't believe the stuff. And we would do these shots of this, or potato vodka. We'd do shots of this stuff, and I'd be half in a bag, man. I'd get home from work, he'd say, "Hey, Phil, come on over." So before I even get into my own house, I'm crap-faced. Oh, we got to take a break.
Well, I think when you start getting into your drinking stories for...
Excuse me. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com on this here Wednesday night. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. You can listen live and mobile on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can listen live and mobile at TuneIn as well. And we're very happy to be with you. And we also each and every day post at iTunes, elsewhere, a Sideshow Network, and SoundCloud a highlight of one of our recent shows. And we have a classic podcast for our subscribers. If you're a subscriber to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, you have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of full shows, thousands of hours of full shows, I should say, going back over 15 years. And you also have access to our daily classic podcast. Each and every day we draw a 30-minute clip from our archives going back to 2005, 2001, 1999, different and sundry weird-ass things. What do we have last night, bud?
Yeah, on Don Parsley, this guy that said that his kid got shot.
Oh, that lying sack of...
Well, this guy Parsley, I remember him.
Yeah, Don Parsley was a guy that would call up, and he would say, I lost my son. He would take advantage of any situation where people were being charitable. If it was 9/11, if there'd been a tornado, if there'd been a hurricane, and if there'd been a plane crash, he would call up and claim that he had somehow been victimized. But he never could keep his story straight. And today's podcast, his son died. No, wait a minute, his son didn't die, his son got shot. No, wait a minute, his son was shot, and then he died. No, wait a minute, it was just, you know... So,
what did you do with this man?
Well, he wanted money, and we would try to get money for him, and it would turn out, no, it wasn't enough. Like,
is this the guy that I heard? Robert, you pointed it out.
Now, this guy, he would come on a show, and he'd say, yeah, I could really use some money to help my family because we're hungry, I haven't eaten. And a guy would call up and say, okay, I got 20 bucks. And he'd say, well, that's not enough. I need more.
Yeah, he turned down the donation.
Yeah, he turned down the donation. And a man said, all right, I got $100. He says, well, if that's the way you're going to be, then I might as well just hang the phone up now because you got a lot of cheap listeners.
Didn't say that.
Yeah, he did.
He did. So anyway, that's our classic podcast for today is the point that I'm trying to make on the Phil Hendry Show. Check it out. And you also get access to all the other miscellaneous media events that we've been a part of, including a couple of television pilots that we produced and different media events that we were a part of, panels. The whole Aspen panel is on there, which is not exactly my best moment, I don't think.
Oh, this is where you got taken to task by Drew Carey.
Well, I don't know if I got taken to task. Greg Proops.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Greg Proops, you know him? He's a very funny guy, and he hosted a show on TLC, I think it was a game show.
Greg Proops, is he the one with the hair? Oh, he's the one with the hair.
Yeah, he's got a kind of a wild hairdo. He's a very smart guy, and I had him on one side. I had Stephen Colbert on another. I had Drew Carey down the line. I had Gary Trudeau down the line. There was only one guy on that entire panel that represented a conservative point of view, which was Mike Murphy, who is a media guy at one time, I think, for one of the guys, Pete Wilson. But Mike Murphy also produces, and he was a producer for Dennis Miller. And I'm not saying that I was the arch conservative, but I wasn't a full-on Bush hater. And these guys were just to a man, and I got my ass kicked, you know.
Well, you're sitting in Aspen, Colorado, Phil. One of these days you're going to learn. You don't go walking into the lion's den wearing London Broil aftershave lotion.
Oh, God.
That's exactly. Give me five.
Yeah.
Oh, ain't you guys are just, oh, you're down with it. So I was wearing London Broil aftershave.
Phil, you don't walk into the lion's den. Before you walk in, you coat yourself in the grease and juice of prime rib. You gotta be kidding. Is that what you did?
That's exactly what he did, General, although my London Broil analogy was far funnier.
No, it isn't. I resent the prime rib is what I'm going with.
Yeah, I think you're the funnier.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Okay, isn't that great? Prime rib. So I walked in, I was dumb, is what you're saying.
Yes, you're dumb. What are you doing going mano a mano with those people? Those are super brains. You, Phil, are a good working man's humorist. You get in, you work the land, you work the ground. You, at the end of the day, you put your hands on your hips and you look out on the comedy field and you see if any crops have been yielding or yielded, or if you're yield, you know.
Yeah, I like that analogy, Phil. You're like the comedy farmer. You know,
the comedy farmer.
That's a pretty good name for a show.
You know, now that I think about it.
Yeah, what about that? I'm sorry.
The comedy farmer. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm the comedy farmer.
Well, what's so funny about that?
I don't know. But so, all right, so what's the show about?
Well, we can sit here and spitball it a little bit.
What do you mean, spitball?
I mean, go through with the creative process. General, you've never been through the creative process, so just sit and watch. What do you guys think to... First of all, I want the credits to read, created by Margaret Gray.
All right, never mind the comedy farmer.
That, I know what it is. You come on, hi, I'm Phil Hendry, I'm a comedy farmer. And tonight, we're going to go into the silo to see what laughs there are.
Yeah. We're going to go into the silo. You mean we're storing laughs?
Yeah, you're storing laughs and going into the silo, too, to find out.
Nah, that sucks. The Comedy Farmer, I would have to be, well, they've already had the Comedy Farmer.
I was going to say, you know what they had, the Comedy Farmer? A little thing called Hee-Haw. Oh, no. Yeah, you're burned. You're burned.
Yeah, I think he smoked him, Ms. Gray.
He didn't smoke. And watch how you say he smoked me.
It would be more like she smoked me, you know.
You are a filthy animal, you know that?
Well, I'm trying to be accurate.
No, can we not talk about someone smoking the other pro? Oh, God, that is just funky.
What about what he just said?
What?
He says that the Comedy Farmer bit's been done with Hee-Haw.
I think he's right. That was the Comedy Farmer. You know, they're laughing and they're in a cornfield.
No, I don't think so. That's just a bunch of people laughing in a cornfield. They can call it the Comedy Farmer.
Well, whatever Hee-Haw is about, Hee-Haw was what? Isn't that a donkey or something?
Yeah, but that would be like a donkey.
All right, so the donkey's laughing. So if a donkey's laughing, where's the donkey?
On a farm.
Okay, so the donkey's laughing on a farm. Well, why would a donkey be laughing on a farm unless the farmer is the Comedy Farmer?
Well, that's a good point.
Thank you. And,
wait a minute. Run that by me again.
No, I'm not going to run it by anybody again. So, you were saying...
Yeah, you're a very workman-like comic, Phil. Now, you're in the room with some heavy brains, some big brains, Drew Carey, Gary Trudeau. Gary Trudeau is one of the preeminent satirists of our time, one of the great American satirists of our time. And if I'm saying it overly dramatic, I'm doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I know, and you know it drives me nuts.
What does?
One of the great satirists of our time, man.
I don't shake my head, Phil, like I'm possessed, like whatever was in Linda Blair decided to come out of her and go ahead and dive into me for a taste. You know what? I'm going to go get something to eat. I'm going to get something to eat, smoke, and drink. Excuse me.
Should we put the lid down, I think?
Yeah, the lid better be down.
Oh, man. Everything with her. All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I got a couple of more items here to get to in terms of this Russia thing, which is what we've been... You know what? I don't want to talk about Russia anymore. I'm going to find something else, anything else, to talk about besides poutine. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com, live and mobile on TuneIn as well.
Hey, everybody, Phil Hendry, the comedy farmer.
Comedy Farmer.
Go, Henry.
Oh, I thought this was an interesting song.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Farmer John, I'm in love with your daughter.
Well, Art Griego has something to say about it. He's online free, Phil.
Thank you very much, General. Yeah, we do have Art Griego on the phone. Everybody was talking about the Comedy Farmer. And it was Art Griego who called right after that because he wanted to give us a heads up on this song, Farmer John. When you talk about being a comedy farmer, and Art, you're a pilot, you know, but we've often had you on the show. You are a guy that you get around, man, and you know an awful lot about a lot of things.
Well, I try to stay abreast of things, Phil.
And what was it about the song Farmer, when everybody was talking about me being a comedy farmer?
Yeah, I was listening to Margaret as she was... Hold on for a minute. Is that me? Is that our house? I am worried sick. I can't get out of here because we're repairing a couple of aircraft that came in here tonight, Phil, and I can't get over to the house. And I know that I left a couple of eggs boiling on the stove. And so when I hear sirens going by, I'm wondering if my home's burning to the ground. And it's an extremely disquieting feeling.
What about your wife?
Well, she's here with me, and we can't get out of here right now because we want to oversee these jobs. They're worth a lot of money.
Well, can't you get somebody over there to take a look?
No, everybody is pretty much tied up tonight. So what we're doing is just, we'll be out of here in another hour and a half or so. It's one of those things, you know, but every time I hear the sirens go by, I'm thinking our home is burning to the ground. It's very disquieting.
Well, hold on for a minute. That's impossible. That's just impossible. I can't allow you to tell me. You have to deal with that. I don't want you on the air with me if you have that going on.
Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Do you understand?
Well, I talked to Art about it. What is he supposed to do?
Are you telling me you left eggs burning on the stove?
Yeah, lived, I was boiling some, hard-boiling some eggs because I enjoy hard-boiled eggs, and I was thinking about it because I listened to your show last night, and I heard Steve Bozell talking about the soft-boiled egg, and I remember thinking, what a pansy he is, and I said, I turned to my wife, Melody. I said, you know me, I like them hard-boiled. And she said, you can say that again. because that's the kind of relationship we have. But so I decided I'd hard-boil some eggs and have them waiting for me as soon as I got home, right there in the cooler, waiting with the salt shaker and the whole everything set up perfectly. The only problem was I...
forgot to turn the stove off.
Yeah, I forgot to turn it. In other words, I hadn't even gotten to the point of putting them in the refrigerator. They weren't even cooked yet. So I'm scared. I'm very scared, and I'm...
Well, if you're scared, then I don't want you on the air. You ought to go and do something about it.
Well, Patsy, find out where Melanie is, Pat, and see. I'm going to get my wife to see what she says, but I did hear the siren go by, and I think everything's okay. Didn't you tell me that you left some eggs on the stove once?
Yeah, I did, and I left them on there for about 6 hours. And when I came home, my entire apartment was full of smoke. The eggs had absolutely burned right up, and then the shell exploded or something. So there was bits of shell all over the kitchen floor, and it stunk to high heaven, man. If you burn an egg in a saucepan that you've been trying to hard boil, man, it's about as funky as it gets, you know.
Did it smell anything like this studio did when we walked in? You should have taken a whiff of this joint tonight, Art. It would have gagged. I swear to God, it would have gagged a buzzard on a crap wagon.
Well, that's rough, you know.
Oh, look at it. He's laughing now.
No, I'm not laughing. I'm feeling...
In any event, the song Farmer John, I'm in Love with Your Daughter was a song that was popular, a little bit older than you, Phil. The song was popular when I was in high school, and I had not enjoyed that song. And when people call you the comedy farmer, I want you to remember that there was a controversy when that song came out. You remember Louie Louie, they thought it was dirty. Farmer John, I'm in Love with Your Daughter, by the premieres, got people considering the fact that a farm is a place where things are grown that you eat. And now here's a guy talking about getting this guy's daughter in a barn. And, excuse me, is my wife over there? I am...
I can tell you're really consumed by this thought that your home is burning to the ground.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to say my home's burning to the ground, but I'm worried that I would not have even thought about it had General Shaw not opened his mouth and said something, you know. That, huh? Yeah. Had General Shaw not opened his mouth and said something. So that's the thing that is frightening me. And I would simply say that for General Shaw or anybody to...
Well, look, I'm not trying to make you nervous.
Well, every time I hear a siren, I just heard another siren.
All right, if you're too nervous, then I don't want you on the air. You got to get home, and you got to take care of whatever's happening there.
Well, I'll find out where my wife Melanie is right now, and then we'll take it from there. Oh God! Oh, what's that? Somebody go find Melanie, okay? Where is she? Well, she's at the Chumash Casino right now.
So your wife's obviously not that concerned, okay?
I know that, but she's over. What's she doing? She's playing video poker at the Chumash Casino.
Well, then she's not concerned at all, man. And if your wife's not concerned, I wouldn't be if I were you either.
Well, she's supposed to be here, and we can't get away. And now she's over playing video poker? Is that what she's doing? Right? She's playing video poker at the Chumash. See, this is what I resent more than anything else. I'm sitting here working my ass off.
Well, what are you doing?
Well, I'm not working. I'm actually supervising them rebuilding this motor. But she was supposed to be with me. I'm calling you to warn you about this song Farmer John and being too closely identified with it. Meanwhile, my home is burning to the ground and my wife is playing video poker somewhere. This is what I call... See, this is how unfair it is. So all I want to know is where she is.
Look, there may not be anything happening. If your wife is playing video poker at the Chumash Casino...
She was supposed to be here helping me.
Well, I know your wife, Melanie. She's a responsible woman. Maybe she thought everything's under control, and she's over playing video poker, and she's not concerned. Why don't you try calling her?
Okay, that's a good point. She got her cell phone? Yeah, I'll call her up, Bill.
Okay. Do you want to call her now?
No, I'm on the air with you. I'll call her at the break.
All right. Obviously, you're not that concerned.
Well, if she's sitting on her ass... Sorry. But if she's sitting on her ass, okay, and she's burning daylight on my time playing video poker, then I don't care if our home burns to the ground with every memento and photograph in it. That's how I feel about it.
Now, you don't mean that. You don't mean that. It sounds like you're angry.
Well, yeah, I'm angry because I'm...
Let's just get back to Farmer Brown here, or whatever.
No, his name's Farmer John. The song is Farmer John.
Okay. Now, what about the song Farmer John?
When I heard them talking to you about being the comedy farmer, I said to Melanie, do you remember Farmer Brown? She said, I knew a Farmer Brown, yeah. I said, I meant Farmer John. And that got a sidetrack because why do you know a Farmer Brown? What's that all about? And she had to go into a big, long dissertation about how don't worry about it, don't be jealous. Because I'm still very jealous of my wife some 30 years after we've been married.
I think that's very sweet, so long as you're not driving her nuts with it.
Well, I hope not, but I said, do you know Farmer Jess? She said, Farmer Brown? I said, who's he?
Well, you shouldn't be grabbing a hold of stuff like that.
Yeah, women don't want to feel as if there's a microscope on them, Art. We know you love your wife, but if you're asking her about every little thing...
No, I don't do that. I'm not like some guys. Some guys are really insecure. And they make me sick. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be around any panty waste. And even if the guy thinks he's real tough, any guy that keeps an eye on his wife morning, noon, and night like that is a sissy and a panty waste and just drags the entire gender down. I'm not like that. I simply said to her, do you remember the song Farmer John? And she said, yeah, I knew a Farmer Brown. And I said, now we got to stop right there because I want to know what you know about this Farmer Brown.
All right, but you were talking to her about this song, Farmer John.
That is correct, yes.
Because you were reminded of it when everybody was calling me the comedy farmer.
Well, we were talking about Phil being the comedy farmer, Art, because of... We thought it would be a good name for a show.
Yeah, we were talking about it being on Comedy Central.
Oh, no, I understand that. And that's what I thought of the song, Farmer John, I'm in love with your daughter, because I wanted to warn you against that. The song, when it first came out, Phil, was a hit among teenagers... But there was a darkness to it. It was a great song, but in the end, it was shrouded in darkness and sadness. It was like the undoing. Excuse me. It was like the undoing of everything good. That's what horror truly is. And the song Farmer John, I'm in love with your daughter, started out as such a nice song, and yet you sensed that the good was being undone.
Good Lord, that is very.
Very, very depressing.
Well, it's depressing and it's frightening.
Good was being undone. So what was...
Well, the song is about a guy and a farmer's daughter, and he has her in the barn, and I don't think I have to be graphic. You know what's going on in there, and this is where they...
Yeah?
This is where they make food, and this is where they grow food.
Well, they don't make food there. What do you mean?
Well, I mean they grow food. They stack the food. If you go and get corn, wheat, it goes into the barn, and that's where it is stacked.
Okay, and so he's in the barn. What? I don't understand.
You don't understand. I'm laying it out there as clear as I can. Yeah.
Well, wait. You're saying now that Farmer Brown, or not Farmer Brown, Farmer John, put the food in the same place where his daughter was giving it away to some guy?
That's exactly my point, yeah.
Oh, you gotta be kidding. That's the most childish, asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. You know that?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to warn Phil, for God's... Look, Margaret, my home is burning to the ground, and all I'm trying to do is tell you something's got nothing to do with me. You could care less. My home is cooked. I mean, there's not going to be anything left but maybe a 2x4, a little bit of the chimney. It's going to look like Hiroshima. And I'm on the phone telling Phil... to stay as far away from Farmer Brown as he can get.
Farmer John, right?
Farmer John, I'm sorry. Farmer Brown, I still got to work out with...
Hold on. We're taking a quick break here. Art Griego joins us on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is his home burning down? Well, we don't know.
Well, why doesn't someone get on the phone with the fire department and send them over there?
I don't know what the damn address is. But here's the thing. I don't want to be a party to some false alarm, you know, where our emergency services are overburdened as it is. And if his wife is over playing video poker...
Yeah, he's at the two-match casino right now.
Well, then what the hell is he worried about? I left a boiled egg on the stove. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and we're online, of course, at TuneIn, live and mobile, and on our Listen Live line. Visit our online store for all kinds of Phil Hendry Show gear, products, collectibles, clothing, downloads, CDs, and everything to make your dreams come true. We'll be right back.
Well, that's not accurate.
Well, I'm saying it's accurate. Make your dreams come true. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Art Griego joining us on our newsmaker line. They're talking about the song Farmer John and also whether or not there was a fire at his home this evening. Art, have you got that figured out?
I think we're all right now, Phil. I was just worried. I was hearing sirens everywhere. And now Melanie is back, and she won a couple of $100 at video poker.
So all's well that ends well, huh?
I don't know. I mean, have you called over there? Have you called the merchants? Did you call the merchants? We got our neighbors, our Ted and his wife, and she called them up and asked, is our house okay? And they were giving her a song and a dance. What do you mean by okay? Ha, ha, ha. Apparently there's some drinking. There's a party going on over there.
Well, you know what? That's probably all the better reason for you to be concerned. I'm not saying your neighbors are irresponsible. What did they tell you?
What did they say, honey? She said she couldn't get a straight answer out of them, and then the line went dead.
What is going on your street, man?
Look, Phil, these are my neighbors. There's nothing for you to worry about.
Well, ever since I got you on the air, you're talking about how your home may be burning down. You're distracted. Your wife, where is she? Oh, she's playing video poker. You know, you wanted to tell me about Farmer John, and then you give me this story about Farmer Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, Melanie, honey, I'm telling Phil about this Farmer Brown. I'm telling my wife. I'm telling Phil about this Farmer Brown. Who is Farmer Brown? See, she's playing it real cute. Nah. You know, I love my wife, I'm not saying anything, but, you know, I love my wife, but if she can't tell me with a straight face who Farmer Brown is, because when I say, who's Farmer Brown, she gets this smile on her face. Who's Farmer Brown? She did it again. She just smiled, see?
Well, who's Farmer Brown?
Mr. Henry wants to know who Farmer... Why don't you go on the air with Phil?
Yeah, let me talk to her.
You go on the air with Phil? No, she didn't want to. She's scared. What are you scared of? Now she's laughing her ass. Look at her. She's falling on the ground, laughing her ass off. Now I'm going to find out who Farmer Brown is. What? She's vulgar.
What did she do?
She's pointing at her ass.
Oh, for God's sake. What kind of... You know, I know you love her, but...
Honey, that is vile as beef. She said, you want to know where Farmer Brown lives. God, you know what? You sicken me. I love you, but you sicken me. Yes, I'm jealous of you, and yet no, I don't want other men putting their hands on you, but now you make me sick. And put that together with what they did in the barn with Farmer John.
Are you kidding me or something, man? You must be joking with me, right?
What do you mean?
What is this whole thing we've been doing here? I'm trying to figure out. You called me up to warn me about Farmer John. Farmer Brown, your wife knows, and then you find out this, that, and something else, and then she points at her ass, and now you're like, everybody's disgusted with her, and she was off. There's not one thing that is happening tonight with you that I understand.
Then why are you talking to me, Phil? I mean, this is my life. I called up to try to help you out. I called up to give you a heads up on Farmer John.
Do heads up on Farmer John.
Hey, Dickman, you know, when you start yelling at me, I'll take it from anybody, but not from you. Not from some guy that would have been the village idiot if this was 300 years ago and there were more pointed shoes available.
All right. Thank you very much.
When you do that, when you say, thank you very much, I know that the phone will be hung up and I'll be someone's, you know, I'm going to be the butt of someone's joke for weeks. And I'm telling you...
Hey, you know what? Don't blame me, Art. Don't blame me. You called. You said, let's give Phil the heads up on Farmer John.
Well, I mean, don't you feel at least warned there?
No, I don't. No, not at all. No. If I ever was going to do a comedy show called The Comedy Farmer, I am very, very confident that that title is not going to somehow engender in the minds of people... you know, people fornicating in a barn on top of what eventually becomes Wheaties.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot. Melanie, she's got the truck warmed up, and she's still laughing and still pointing at her ass, so I'll...
Thank you very much, Art. Very happy to have cut you off and hung up on you.
Well, he means well, you know.
Oh, does he really? Does he really?
Well, I think that Phil did the right thing. That guy, he's got a screw loose. That guy's crackers. And I'll tell you something, he's dangerous.
Well, now, why do you say that?
I'm telling you, he's dangerous. He's got a wife that he's so jealous of, he was ready to commit homicide on some poor bastard named Farmer Brown, and then he found out Farmer Brown don't exist, except inside of a...
Yeah, except in his wife's... Well...
Don't say it.
So Farmer Brown don't exist. I don't know. I'm...
All right, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing there, Art. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. All right, before we do anything else, I wanted to finish up this whole... What did she do? She called him Hitler. Which parts of us... What is this? Which parts of us are Neanderthals?
What are you talking about?
Oh, that was a different story. Potential Democratic U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton on Wednesday tried to clarify comments. I don't think she should run for president. She won't win. I mean, I don't think she's the Democrat to do it, you know?
Why not?
I don't know. I think that the experience in 08, where she was the front runner for the longest time, and then Obama came along and just blew the doors off of everybody. I mean, that was an incredible campaign. I believe that she, I don't know, man. I think she's going to be, she'll look like a retread. Anyway, potential Democratic U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton tried to clarify comments that left the impression she had compared Russian President Vladimir Putin to German dictator Adolf Hitler. Ms. Clinton, as President Barack Obama's Secretary of State in his first term, was a key player in a U.S. effort to reset relations with Russia, a policy that critics now say was a glaring failure. On Tuesday, Ms. Clinton had said Mr. Putin's incursion into Crimea of southern Ukraine was akin to moves Hitler made in the years before World War II. Mr. Putin justified sending forces to Crimea by saying he wanted to protect ethnic Russians. Well, you know, Hitler used that excuse, protecting ethnic Germans, which Ms. Clinton said was similar to Hitler's vow to protect ethnic Germans. So, you know, that's one of those things where you take it out of context, or if you even take it out of the historical context, it sounds like she's comparing the guy to Hitler. Maybe she is, but you know, in point of fact, that's not what he is.
What? No, well, I don't understand what you mean. He's not. That's what he is, but that ain't what he is.
Never mind, man.
Phil, don't get frustrated because you know more about this than other people.
I'm saying that even if she's comparing him to Hitler, which she shouldn't, because there is a lot more going on than just a guy wanting to protect ethnic whoever's, you, the viewer and the listener and the consumer of the news, you should not make that comparison because it's completely off base. Yeah, he wants to protect ethnic Russians, but Hitler's reasons for going in. Anyway, we have to take a break here. Thank God.
Don't you want to read more about Hitler and Putin?
No, I don't. I really don't. I really don't. I'm tired of the whole... I mean, you know, I may read up on it myself later on, but we've got other fish to fry, if you'll pardon the expression. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We'll be back right after the top of the hour news break, and we've got more of the interesting developments of the day. What the hell's going on, bud?
Well, you got this other guy and lady that drove the van into a river.
Yeah, some woman drove a... She drove a van with kids in the van into an ocean. She's going to get mentally evaluated. That's a good thing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, live and mobile at TuneIn and on our Listen Live line at philhendryshow.com. Earlier we talked about this Liz Wahl. We're going to have Don Berman back with us this hour to talk about the young lady who resigned her job at Russia Today, which is a network that operates here in the United States and is actually a network that operates internationally. And it is one that presents a point of view, an editorial point of view. The thing that we're trying to figure out here, and Margaret, you know, I know you disagreed with me a little bit, is every network has an editorial point of view.
Well, every network has an editorial point of view. But the Russia Today, and I agree with you, because what I said about Liz Wahl was I was very proud of her as a broadcaster, but I also wanted to slap her filthy face. And let me explain before you...
Well, Margaret.
Let me explain, please. You saw her on TV, and she had a bit of a sullen look, and I'm Liz Wahl, and my relatives are all a bunch of hillbillies from the Ukraine or whatever she said.
I'd say hillbillies. She said her family's from there.
Well, she tried to give it the feel that she's really down with the hillbilly over there or whatever they... And in other words, she wanted us to all feel as if she can walk right into the middle of some celebration of a bunch of Cossacks and sit right down and have beet soup. And she's fine. And the rest of us have got to be locked up or else we're raped, basically.
Oh, God, Margaret. No one made that point. Margaret, what are you trying to say?
Excuse me, but that's what the message that I got, that she can just go anywhere she wants. I'm Russian, and Stolichnoya and everything like that. And what do? I'm a reporter, and I'm supposed to stand there and just put out for every drunk slob in the Georgian National Guard.
No, I don't think that was the message at all.
Well, that's what I'm getting, and I think any woman would.
I'd love to poll women.
You'd like to do what to women?
God, General, you hear what you said?
What did I said I'd like to... Oh, what a mind you have.
God, you didn't mean that. He wants to find out how they vote.
I didn't say I'd like to poll women. He did.
Okay, I think we know what he meant. But before we get Don Berman on the line, here is Anderson Cooper talking with this young woman, Liz Wahl, tonight on his show. And he was asking her a number of questions. Earlier, we did play her statement. In fact, you're going to hear her statement, the pivotal statement here, as it was expressed today on her broadcast on Russia Today.
I cannot be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin.
Yes, I like this.
I'm proud to be an American
and
believe...
Hold on for just a minute. Can you not do that?
Margaret, we're trying to listen.
I'm very proud of this young lady.
And yet you want to slap her filthy face.
I'm proud of her, but sitting there and going, oh, and I can no longer, and I want to kick her face. And so I am...
You're torn.
I'm torn a little bit, yes. What are you laughing at?
Well, I think what you're saying is you need an evaluation at a psychiatric clinic. Excuse me, I'm getting myself a vanilla wafer.
It's a good thing you went and got yourself a vanilla wafer, old man. Are you listening to me?
No.
Can we continue?
Yes, you can continue, Phil. I'm just very enthusiastic.
Disseminating the truth.
Yeah, listen right here. Listen.
And that is why, after this newscast, I'm resigning.
Liz Wahl joins us now. This is her first TV interview since quitting RT America. Also, Jill Doherty's back with us. She'll also be asking questions. Liz, it's good to have you on the program. Obviously, your announcement stunned a lot of people. Why did you decide to resign during your newscast? Because you've been working there for like 2.5 years. Clearly, you're familiar with the perspective of RT America, the kind of stuff, the kind of stories they put on the air. So why today?
Why today? That's a good question. I think the coverage, as we're in this diplomatic standoff and during the escalation of this crisis in Crimea, I think the propagandist nature of RT came out in full force. Today, for example, I had an interview with Ron Paul. The only question that I asked, I asked many questions, I asked about the Russian intervention. You know, he has a very anti-intervention approach. I asked him.
She's less impressive here, Phil.
Russian can we listen, please?
How long is this garbage going to go on?
How should we respond to this?
You said you liked her.
I do like her, but this is garbage. Pure drivel and garbage and refuse.
Of the interview, there was another segment today.
Oh, God, when's it going to end?
It was a news package from one of our correspondents that painted the opposition over there in the Ukraine as having neo-Nazi elements. And I think that's very dangerous when you have a new government instability over there.
Okay, all right, okay. Yeah, I mean, you're going to be a child, okay.
Why did you turn it off?
Nobody can hear it because you're all going blah, 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 blah.
But I have the right. She wants an editorial opinion. I have an editorial opinion. I will say again, I think she's brilliant. I think she has courage. I think she's a wonderful reporter. But then when she starts going on about how great she is, see?
No, I don't see. I mean, how can you call her a great reporter and a great this and a great that, and then when we want to listen to her point of view?
I don't want to listen to her sucking up to Anderson. Did anyone tell her he's gay? Because it isn't going to wash, honey. It is not going to wash. And by wash, I don't mean with a cloth. I mean...
We get it.
Who is we, Phil? You got a rocket in your pocket?
No, I'm talking about her and the way you're referring to Anderson Cooper.
Well, I'm just saying that she's... listen to the... Go ahead. Where's the knob that you turn things up with?
Here.
He just pointed to his crotch.
Hey, wait!
I'll kill him.
Ow! Ow, 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 ow!
I haven't even touched him.
I know. I did it just in case.
Where's the knob you turn it up with?
Seek the truth. Spread the truth. Disseminate the
truth. She's still talking.
And what's clear is what's happening right now amid this crisis is that RT is not about the truth. It's about promoting a Putinist agenda. And I can tell you firsthand, it's also about bashing America. And I kind of cited some of my background.
Anderson Cooper looks positively angry with this because Anderson Cooper felt that Russia Today was a viable and very positive experience. And I did, too. My mind is completely blown by this. I like her. I think she's got guts. I also hate her, and I don't like the way she's saying, she's got a tone of voice that makes me want to... I want to put a high heel through her face. I'm sorry.
You know, Margaret, I think people are listening to this and wondering, do you need a psychiatrist, or is it just something that...
I beg your pardon?
Do you need a psychiatrist, or is this just the way you talk all the time?
What have I said that would lead you to believe I need a psychiatrist?
Well, first of all, you're saying you want to put a high heel through her face. Second...
I'm asking Phil, not you.
Well, go ahead, Robert. I want Robert to answer.
You said you put a high heel through her face. Then she said she's all la 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 la. Then you said she's trying to kiss up and suck up on Anderson Cooper, and everybody know he's gay. And
well, maybe she doesn't.
Wait a minute. Maybe she's just trying to impress people at CNN because she wants to get a gig there.
Well, I'm saying to her, if you're listening, Liz, take a tip from a pro. First of all, quit talking like you think you're, I don't know, Cokie Roberts.
Cokie Roberts?
And then don't work at CNN and don't work at Fox because they're two different versions of the same Nazi fascist scum that you worked for at Russia Today. Take a tip from me. Get a nice little column in one of these weeklies near the beach. I'm Margaret Gray.
Oh, that's great. That's some great advice.
Are you putting me on, Gray? She takes a job like that, she won't even be able to afford tap water. Forget it.
Well, at least she'll be in a place where...
I think you're just jealous because...
I'm not. Jealous of what?
You're jealous because she's got the big gig and you're writing for the weekly.
That's what I think of your opinion. I'm not even going to... You know full well I don't write for a weekly. I write for a national syndicator.
Yeah, she belched about three times, Mr. Henry.
I heard it. All right, we're going to be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and Phil Henry Show... .com with more of this discussion. Don Berman standing by to talk with us as well about the goings-ons on Russia Today. We just heard Margaret Gray basically just tear this woman apart on the one hand, but on the other hand say that she really admires her. She's impressed by her, but she wants to slap her filthy face. Talk about needing a doctor.
I don't need the doctor. You're the one that's going to need the doctor after you play Farmer John.
We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. What do you got, Robert?
Well, Russia Today.
All right, well, before we get to Russia Today, man, we get Don Berman on the line here from Channel 19 News. Don's second appearance on our show tonight. I know you're getting ready for a newscast, Don. Your comments thus far on this situation?
Well, I will just reiterate what I had said earlier, and I think it bears repeating, that Liz Wall is barking up the wrong tree. I think that this is a woman... Now, Margaret Gray, in the you're pretending like you admire her, Margaret, but you want to also slap her filthy face. I wrote that down, and I wanted to make sure I have that quote correct.
Yes, you do have that quote correct. I think she thinks she's so special.
Well, that's my problem with her. I think she believes that she's all that, a bag of pork rinds, or whatever you want to call it. And I don't think that it is a professional way to be, to throw it up in the face of those of us who may not have, and please hear me on this. I may not have the guts that she has to face off against a major broadcast enterprise that is international in scope, That doesn't mean she has to figuratively lift her skirt and shove my face in it. You see what I'm saying?
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's almost like something I better not say.
Yeah, you better not say.
What are you taking exception to?
I'm personally taking exception to the entire image and what that's got to do with anything.
Well, I'll tell you what it's got to do with it. This woman is sticking it in the face of every journalist that, okay, so I don't have the guts she's got. Is that something she wants to go out and tell the world? I've got more guts than a guy? How's that going to help her, at the end of the day, promote her career among men? And I don't mean to be sexist, but we've all got to swim in the same water.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that. Yes, she has to please all people in her audience, but swim in the same water? Don, I'd be wary of swimming in water that you've been in. What she's been in, I wouldn't mind luxuriating in and bathing in for hours. All right, so that's the difference.
You know something? I'm gonna take you at your word, and I'll go you one better here in a moment. I'm in the newsroom right now, but it won't take too long for me to get into the private spa that we have for executives and some of the on-air people here, and I will get into a bathtub. You can bet your sweet, excuse my language, you can bet your sweet ass that I'll be in a bathtub, and I will show you what I mean when we talk about walking the walk and not just talking the talk.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to get into a bathtub. A bathtub full of water.
Well, what is that going to do?
I was talking about swimming in the same water with this wall, and Margaret said she'd rather be in a bathtub with wall. And let's just remember that. Let's just sort of let that float around in our minds, if you'll pardon the expression float, that these are two women sharing a tub.
What does that mean? You are, without question, Don, the most imbecilic. You should not be allowed to do any kind of editorializing because your editorials are the guy that was on Mary Tyler Moore, Ted, what's his name?
Ted Knight? Was that it?
No, here's a different name.
Well, you're just like that Ted guy.
You're saying that I'm a pompous ass? Boy, that I have done more to take a voice that is a classic broadcast voice, the voice that I have, and I've done more to shave off the pomposity from it and make it sound credible and make it sound like it's a voice you can trust and not make it sound like it comes from the mind and from the body of an ass. And let me just tag the word hole onto the end of that, okay? So that we're all clear as to what it is I'm talking about.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough right there. This is a conversation that has no relevance to anything. You are saying that you're going to get it. I don't care about your bathtub or anything else. What I want to know is your feeling. You said you don't have the guts that she has, but you're saying because she has these guts, she shouldn't be lording it over the rest of you. Margaret, you like her, but you also want to slap her face. What I'm hearing here is a woman who took a stand, and you guys don't have the guts to back it up yourselves.
Well, I don't work for a company that I need to be afraid of. I don't work for a company that I have problems with. I'm not working for a company that is causing me any kind of angst. I work for a company that is... All right, hold on for a minute.
Yeah, you work for a company where the guy's using the espresso machine.
Hold on for a minute, if you don't mind. How you doing? Hey, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. Hey, Bobby, get the... L. Ron Martin is our general manager. He's getting espresso. Is that enough? You need more?
Yeah, I got to get two more. Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
So you work for a company, Don.
Hold on. I can't hear you. I can't hear anything. I can't hear myself think with this.
Hey, Don, I'm very sorry. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say that I work for a company editorially that I agree with. I don't like this new guy, this L. Ron Martin, coming over and making espressos in my ear when I'm trying to talk to you. God.
You know what, man? It's impossible for you to say anything but the truth. And the truth is, you work for an inconsiderate bunch of slobs who seem to think that the news operation is secondary to the need of their general manager and part-time owner or part owner to get an espresso.
I can't hear a word you're saying, Henry. What are you going to be done soon?
What's that?
Are you going to be done soon?
All right, hold on, Glenn. Wait a second.
I'm on the air with Phil Hendry, and I was wondering if you're going to be done soon.
I got one more, just one more. Give me the phone. Hey, Henry, I'm very, very sorry. This is L. Ron. I'm very sorry.
Sure.
All right. Wait, come on over here, get these coffees. Come on over here, get the coffee.
I am, sir.
All right, so, you know, touche, I work for a man who loves his espresso, but I'll tell you, I've always agreed with the editorial policy here for the most part. I think it is a fair employer, and I think I'm treated very well, given that...
This is beautiful. I love this. I'm recording every second of this, and I'm going to play it back on the Jerry Kuchman show this weekend.
Yeah, you know something, Margaret? Go ahead, because I can sue just as easily as anybody else.
Who's Jerry Kuchman?
Jerry Kuchman's doing a talk show on Channel 19 on weekends. You going to do what?
I'm going to be a guest on Kuchman's show, and I'm bringing a tape of this in.
If you bring a tape of this into Kuchman, you know what he's going to do? There's a reason why they call him the Kooch. You know what he's going to do?
Well, I don't think I like the question.
Well, do you know what he's going to do? You bring a tape in. I know. I'm not even going to go there.
She's bringing a tape to this to Jerry Kuchman. What's he going to do, play it back?
Yeah, and make me look like a roaring, raging a-hole with a cowboy hat.
All right. Don, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, you know what? You didn't do me any favors, I'll tell you that.
Don, I'll tell you what, I'll leave this out of my interview with Jerry Kuchman, but just remember, the Kooch is always there.
All right. Why do you, you know...
Well, I think he gets a little high and mighty, and I think he needs to be knocked down to size. I think that Don can start thinking that he's all that. I'm sorry, I just...
Margaret, you know what? I'm...
Oh, General, save it.
All right, so Don Berman, who's Jerry Kuchman? Seriously.
Jerry Kuchman does the weekend talk show.
Yeah, Jerry Kuchman is on at 2 o'clock on Channel 19, on a Channel 19.
On a Saturday? A talk show on Saturday?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Not exactly the time everybody's watching talk shows. I mean, what about Sunday morning?
Well, I don't know, Phil. Why don't you call him up and ask him yourself?
All right, but in any event, so you're going to be on the, I'd like to promote it. Margaret will be with Jerry Kuchman.
Well, I think I've just, go ahead.
Margaret will be with Jerry Kuchman.
On his show. I'm not going to be with him.
All right, I'm sorry. I mean, I thought people understood that.
No, here, I'll do it. Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm going to be on Jerry Kuchman. I'm not going to be on Jerry Kuchman. I'm going to be on the Jerry Kuchman show. So if you could just blot from your mind. Can I start again?
Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm going to be on Jerry Kuchman's... Well... I'm getting up because this one's laughing, that one there, and you are too.
All right.
Well, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, what if she starts out with, I'm going to be on Jerry Kuchman's... Sorry. Okay, so enough of that, enough of Russia. Is there anything sports-wise we can talk about? Well, we'll come back here. I think you had that story. Excuse me, folks, but it's allergy time.
Every time at the end of the show, that happens.
Yeah.
I thought of a good way I'm going to do it. Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. Join me as I sit on Jerry Kuch...
Well, why are you even trying?
I thought I had a good one, and I don't.
Bet you Jerry Kuchman's got a good one.
What an animal.
All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Henry Show here in just a moment. And we will be closing out this here show. Final half hour. I don't know, all of a sudden I think I'm just choking on all the horse dung that's been thrown around this show tonight. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now, this is a story here of a lady who drove her van with some kids in it into an ocean. What was that about? We're going to find out. She's going to get a medical or mental evaluation. And we'll see what's up with that. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I'm Margaret Gray. I'll be all over Jerry.
All right, welcome back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Just involved in a very heavy, heavy conversation.
Yeah, you were saying...
It's none of your business.
Okay.
And,
What is this song that you're playing here?
What is the song, bud?
The Doobie Brothers, Take Me in Your Arm.
Oh, is this the one? He goes, rock me, dilly, dee. Yeah, I remember the guys would sing this back in the day.
Yeah, it's a Doobie Brothers song.
Oh, I know the song. Yeah, take me, ooh, woo, take me. I always had a problem with any song that repeated a lyric like that because it encourages, you know, Phil, and I know you're going to think I'm being petty.
Yep, you got that right. You're exactly right.
Well, that's tough because women know what I mean. Any song where the man, take me, you're just giving that man a license to sweat on you, and I...
Margaret, you're the one that had the guy eating the corned beef sandwich and everything.
What corned beef sandwich?
You said a man was making love to you and eating up a corned beef sandwich.
I believe that's true.
No, you guys have got garbage in your ears. It was a cucumber sandwich. Where did you get corned beef?
Well, Margaret, the idea that any man, anywhere at any time, is making love to a woman on the one hand and also eating a sandwich is about as weird as it gets.
Oh, is it really? Well, I think you should ask more women that question, because women know it's terribly exciting.
You know, every time we say something around here, you go, well, I'm speaking on behalf of the women. One of these days, I'm going to get a bunch of women in here, you know.
Who's this cow? Oh, my God, it's Jessica Simpson.
Well, that's a hell of a thing to say.
Well, is this, what is this?
It's a diet commercial. She's lost about 50 pounds or something.
She's lost or put on 50 pounds?
She looks fantastic there. Are you nuts?
Yeah, sure. Okay, fine. Whatever you,
All right, so we have a story here. Talking about... What's that?
I said Margaret.
Yeah, talk about being a cow, Margaret.
Are you calling me a cow?
You just made the cow noise. All right, husband killed wife. Now, here's something I didn't... he didn't kill his wife, killed himself. I didn't read this. I'm reading this cold because Nikki says that this is a story that will really get to you. Husband killed himself wrapped in wife's dressing gown hours after she died.
Pretty funny.
Shut up, because that's not what this is about. Adrian Cross committed suicide at the couple's home within hours of saying to his wife of 14 years, I won't be long behind you, and inquest hears. A loving husband who took a fatal overdose just hours after his wife died was found wrapped in her dressing gown and clutching her photograph. Adrian Cross, age 45, committed suicide at the couple's home within hours of saying to his wife of 14 years, I won't be long behind you. Oh, man. Tammy Cross, age 37, was found having a fit in her bed. Where is this? Is this in Wales? I can't pronounce these names. She was rushed to, I think this is in Wales, because these are some Welsh names. She was in her bed in a town called Llewelyn Pendron in some part of Wales. She was rushed to Prince Charles Hospital that afternoon, but tragically passed away. Having identified his wife, Mr. Cross was found later that same evening in her bed wearing her pink dressing gown and holding her photograph after taking an overdose. Both inquests for the couple, who married in the Dominican Republic in 1999, were heard together at... the coroner's court. Fighting back tears as she spoke at the inquest, Mr. Cross's aunt, Yvonne Thornley, recalled the moment she saw him at the hospital after he phoned to say his wife had been taken in and wasn't breathing. I went up to the hospital and a nurse told me she'd passed away. When I went in, he was lying over Tammy. He said, I'll see you later, Tam, and I thought he meant he was going back up to the hospital, but obviously he didn't. Asked by coroner Andrew Barkley whether she had heard Mr. Cross say, I won't be long behind you and I can't live without you, Miss Thornley said, yeah, he was saying a lot of things like that.
Well, that's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy. No, it's not healthy.
You don't think it's romantic or anything?
It ain't romantic. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's some people may think it's romantic. I think it's tragic. I think this is a guy that was seriously depressed. I don't know. I mean, there's something that ain't quite right with that, though. But you know what? That's me coming from my orientation, which says all of the things that I was taught, and I'm not saying it's right. All the stuff I was taught is I'm not allowed, you know, you're not allowed to kill yourself.
Well, that's right. It's a mortal sin, and you'll burn in hell if you kill yourself.
Yeah, you'll cook forever in hell. I can't buy that either, though, you know. I mean, there's some people who commit suicide because they can't take the pain any longer, you know.
Well, you've got to be able to take the pain. You know, you can't... Oh, ow, that hurts. I think I'll blow my brains out. What's that about?
No, it ain't about, ow, that hurts. It's about something that's so painful, you can't stand it any longer. Those people I have total sympathy for. I mean it. And I don't... But I you know, people that commit suicide are taking, I think, are making a decision that is, that takes more guts than any other decision that I've ever heard of in my life, man. You're electing to end the whole thing. The whole shooting match, man. That's it.
What do you mean guts?
I mean guts. You know? Are you telling me it doesn't? Or some people say, well, they're so sick, you know, can't really call it guts. You got to call it something else. I don't know. I don't know what death is about. But I do know this. Every single solitary person that I know, no matter how badass, is afraid of dying. No matter how tough. No matter how tough a person, they're afraid of dying. Now, that's a normal fear. That's a normal fear. But it is a fear nonetheless. And someone who would opt for it, someone who would elect to choose it rather than continue with life, in my opinion, and that's just my opinion, I'm not saying, you know, has got guts to spare, man.
Or maybe things are just so bad they can't stand it any longer. And I'm not trying to belittle or trivialize anything, because I think that what you've said, Phil, is very true. But there are nights I'm sitting in this show listening to this one or some of the dumbass.
And you want to blow your brains out?
Well, yeah. When I heard the whole thing about how, what I forget what it was. There's so much stuff happens on this show that boggles the imagination and challenges one's will to live, that I want to go outside and step in front of a bus.
I mean it. Oh, come on. On a radio show? You got to be kidding.
You don't know. You don't know the half of it.
Well, I don't know. What happened tonight?
Well, there were a couple of times when it got real dumbass, but I certainly wouldn't consider going outside and waving at a truck to see if the guy will at least aim for me and then step out in front of it. You told me something that I thought was interesting, Phil.
What?
You said that when you were in Paris...
Oh, yeah, this was very fascinating.
Yeah, when you were in Paris, if you walked against a red light, people in cars and motorcycles aimed for you.
Yeah, they do. They do. They probably still do.
Well, that sounds intriguing. So, Margaret, if you ever get that feeling again, fly immediately to Paris and then walk against a red light.
And you'll see. You know what? If I hear that voice crack one more time, I'll step in front of a bus. If I listen to this one go, what do you mean, I'll step in front of a bus? If I look at you, Phil, defending this idiot, I'll step in front of a bus.
Make sure you fly to Paris first, and the guy will aim right for you.
Real funny.
Look, you know, don't trivialize what this poor man did. This man was so distraught. This man found himself unable to go on because he lost the woman that he had married. He lost the woman that he loved. Now, I don't know, in terms of mental health, just how straight we're thinking when we are so attached to a person that we can't live without them. I'm, a lot of people think that's real romantic, maybe. Some people think that there's something wrong with a guy like that. You know, I may tend to agree with that.
So you don't have any romantic blood in you?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. But I think that, you know, life is ultimately something that you leave alone, you enter alone, and being alone in this world is, it seems, ultimately the point. In other words, how do we get along and move through this life with other people, loving, connecting, having families, while we are essentially individual and singular? And in this country, we celebrate the individual over everything else. We don't celebrate families as much as we do the individual. We don't celebrate towns, communities, states. We don't even celebrate the government as much as we celebrate and honor the individual. And if that's the way you want it, then that's the way it's going to be. I'm Margaret Gray.
I had to kick your...
Hey, all right, take it easy. So that was a very sad story, indeed. Not to minimize. And this poor guy, I mean, geez, you know...
Have you ever been so sad when you lost a woman in your life that you wanted to end it all?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I never seriously thought about killing myself. No, never. I told you, the worst I ever got was not that I considered killing myself, but that I finally understood why some people do it. And I will tell you this, I no longer judge anybody that chooses suicide. And I don't mean to judge this guy. I don't. You know, I know, man, things can get so bad that it's a relief, man, to end it.
Well, you really took a radio show tonight that was relatively funny and you've nosedived right into the La Brea tar pits of bummer. God.
All right, I'm sorry. We're going to be right back here with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com to close out this celebratory, groovy-ass kind of a thing of a night. Yeah.
All right.
You know that it would be untrue.
All right, welcome back here, Phil Henry Show, the 17th of March. We are a digital podcast of a show.
Yoo-hoo!
And we start at 9 a.m. on Monday morning, March 17th, 9 a.m. live. And the show goes for an hour and a half, 2 hours, longer if need be. Probably will go longer on Monday because I think we have the Bobby Dooley and Sklar Brothers podcast. And on those days that we have those podcasts, the show will probably go longer. And it will be available as a podcast within about an hour or so after the live airing of the show.
Now, you were on the Brian and Jill show, right?
Yes. Brian Phelps and I was on their show a couple of times, and that's a live show. And I did the Jimmy Pardo show. Actually, I did the Jimmy. Yeah, that was live. So Jimmy's. There's a few. Everybody thinks of podcasts as being pre-recorded, as strictly on-demand recorded products, and they are for the most part. That's where you get the downloads. That's when people really listen. They download the podcast, and you get those download numbers. But there are a few that originally air as a live webcast, and I am proposing that ours be one of those. And there are others, like I said, Brian and Jill's, Jimmy Pardo. I don't know, man. If the Nerdist is Chris Hardwick?
No, I don't think he is. I think that's recorded.
But in any event, and Chris Hardwick has a new show on Comedy Central. That's a kind of a game show or something.
Yeah, I think a lot of people said you ought to be on it, but
you know what? I don't, man. It's okay. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody. I'm not a stand-up comic, so I don't really hang at the clubs and see all those guys and interact with those guys and am part of the fraternity. You know, I mean, I know a lot of them, and I know that a lot of them think I'm funny and vice versa, whatever, but I don't expect that they're going to incorporate me into their world, you know?
Well, were they going to have you on this show?
I don't know. I mean, it's fine if they don't. I understand. Mark Maron had me on the show because of my experience in the radio business, and that episode was about, it was really pretty much about his, I think it was about his experience in radio, which has been, I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say that his experience in radio was negative. You know, it's just the business itself is that way. But so I don't expect that, and it's okay. You know, we're sort of here and we're in this kind of twilight zone. We're in a twilight zone of we do humor, but we're not stand-up comics. We do humor on the radio, but we're not working the conservative, liberal, political thing. You know, so it's. I'm telling you, man, it's difficult, you know.
Well, so on the 17th, this becomes a podcast, and I'm obviously the crudity and the vulgarity begins. So you'll be dropping the green flag on that.
No crudity and vulgarity, no.
Yeah, there is. You said we could say dirty words.
Hey, man, here's what I'm telling you. I don't know about you guys, and I, you know, I won't put up with impolite behavior, but I'm saying it's going to be a show that is going to be uncensored. And we'll talk about issues that ordinarily we probably wouldn't be able to talk about here. And we will reference things that we ordinarily probably couldn't reference. And we'll go, you know, we will definitely go far afield of what you're allowed to do on the radio. And that's the beautiful thing about webcasting. And as I said last night, and it'll be even more true now, it's not a show for kids under 18. And we want to be respectful of our younger listeners. I know we have teenagers that listen to the show. I'm just saying it officially. To parents, you know, don't blame me if your kid, you know.
Now, what was the time, Phil? And I think there was somebody had spray painted some graffiti, like I think it was, and you meant it humorously, but someone had spray painted.
Yeah, man.
I said spray painted, Dickman. Don't get in my face this late in the show. Spray painted something on the side of a wall, like. All, you know, all Mexicans must die, and they said it was a comedy bit on your show.
No, they didn't say. No, that was not what that was. Are you nuts or something? No, it was not.
Well, that's what I heard.
No. All Mexicans must die.
And that was a comedy bit.
No, it was not on my show.
Well, maybe I misspoke.
Yeah, I think so. There was an incident at a high school where someone had spray-painted something that was a quote or something from something on the show. And I even got a call from that principal, from the principal of that school. And I said, no, I did not encourage any kids to do that. And, you know, what are you going to do? I told the guy the truth. And I said, hey, you know what, man? If these kids are hearing things on our show, I would strongly suggest that the parents and the, you know, you get involved, okay?
Well, it's all easy for you to say, Phil, but if you're on your program talking about some of the things, you just heard what Art Griego's wife calls her rear end, Farmer Brown.
Well, all right, so why did you say that?
Why did I say what?
Why did you say that so anybody that's in high school heard that?
That butt all that dirty big wow. So she calls her butt Farmer Brown, okay? And maybe he calls...
Never mind what he calls his. So what? So what about it?
Well, the kids hear that.
Yeah, and there you are repeating it.
What do you mean, here I am? Of course I'm going to repeat it because I want to reference what it was that you said so that I can blame you, but you're trying to blame me.
I said something that could not have... You could have just left well enough alone.
Why? It's something you said that the kids heard.
And now they heard it again because you said it.
But yeah, but then they heard it a third time because you repeated it back after I said it. So...
Oh, come on, Margaret. You can't have your cake and eat it, too.
I can't have what?
You can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Why don't you eat this?
Wow.
Oh, she lifted her dress.
Oh, man.
That's right. Read it and weep.
Okay, thanks so much for that, Margaret. That's,
Well, you know what? So much I can...
Put up with? Yeah, okay, I understand. So, yeah, on the 17th, we'll be doing that. Now, there was one other story here. Nikki sent me that. Oh, yeah, I know. She was late tonight on the 270. Did you ever find out, Nikki, what's going on with that? I think you told us what was happening on the 270 heading into D.C. tonight that made you a half hour late and you were afraid you're going to be 2 hours late?
I thought that, there was an error message, or not an error message, an emergency message that came up on my GPS that said there was a vehicle fire.
Okay.
But by the time I got to that area, there was just a bunch of bulldozers and emergency vehicles and just basically a pile of rubble.
And they a pile of the guy's car, what used to be a guy's
probably.
Car. They probably just pushed it right off the side of the road. Man, I'll tell you. I was driving home one day from going Christmas shopping, and I had a bunch of presents and stuff in the back of the van, and I was heading home, and it was a very sleepy Saturday afternoon, and Maria was taking a nap, and as I'm driving down the freeway, I see a big black, looks like a fire, but the smoke is just billowing black, so you know that there's fuel being burned, and there's rubber being burned, and there's all kinds of fuel And lo and behold, I see on the freeway a van on its side just in flames.
Oh, God.
And I see a bunch of people who are lined up on the side of this overpass looking at it. And like a dumbass, this thing is, by the way, the fire is burning directly under the overpass. So the flames are licking the bottom of this overpass. So what do you think dumbass here did? To get a better view, I drove over the overpass. And as I was on... I'm in my car, and as I'm in the middle of it, I think, oh, my God, my tires must be a million degrees right now. And so I got across as fast as I could. Everybody, I can only imagine what they were thinking. Who is that jackass, you know? It turned out it was a van that had swung onto the freeway too fast, and it clipped a tractor trailer. Now, the tractor trailer was on its side jackknifed, but the driver was out and on his phone calling his dispatch and basically saying, we got a really bad situation here.
Wow.
It turned out it was the fault of the drivers in the van. It was a guy, a young man, and a friend, and they both died in this crash.
Oh, God.
Swinging out onto the freeway too fast and clipping this tractor trailer, and the next thing you know, man, kaboom.
Jeez.
Yeah, and there I was, Christmas week, with the festivities of, you know, just everything's all cheery and stuff. And I'm looking at this, man. But the only thing that I could really think about was how dumb I was burning up four tires. Yeah, you know. It's... All right, guys. Thanks very much, Nikki. And thank you all. Sorry to kind of close it out with a drag of a statement like that. But that's kind of...
Yep, that's how things are done around here.
Well, take it easy, General. We will see you guys tomorrow on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 7 o'clock Pacific. And don't forget, we start on the 17th at 9 a.m. My love.